I'm glad to hear the floor is open for me, because your colleague said the floor is, well, how do you say, this is your floor today. So I said, well, I will leave the floor here, so don't worry, I don't have the habit of taking floors with me, so make sure to clarify that. I think you may be very glad to leave it here. Yeah, I'll give you the fundament. That's right, we'll keep the fundament. So many of you were here recently, a few weeks ago. You survived, as it looks like. You're all still here. Okay. Do you want me to do the mic thing, then I'll run around with the mic? Or is it okay like this? I think it's okay, but maybe easier, because I do move around, so, and the mic does not move. So yeah, a few weeks ago, we spoke about this whole issue, the challenge of pornography. I gave you a lot of data, for half of you, because the other half wasn't there, on the whole challenge of pornography, how it affects young people, it affects older people, it affects men, and more also women. We've seen in not in research, but in little surveys we've done at different venues, that roughly about 20 to 30% of Christian women would say, yes, in the last year I've actually actively watched pornography. So it's a challenge also for women, as the porn industry is more and more reaching out to teach, not in a positive way, teach women about sexuality through pornography. I guess this is not the way we can get to know what sexuality is, via the way of pornography. But pornography has more and more become a teacher also of our children. Many of you have no children yet, perhaps in the future, but it's become the porn industry, the sex educator number one worldwide, when it comes to what sexuality is, you know? And that's a sad thing, because I think sexuality is nothing that the porn industry should teach us. But the Lord God teaches us, we as a church, as Christians, need to talk about these topics. If I think of the Bible, if I look at the Bible, the topic of sexuality is very present. So Jesus had no problem to address that topic again and again. You know, think of the people he was in contact with that had problems in the area of sexuality. Remember the woman caught in the act? Yeah? How he gracefully meets this woman, full of grace, but does sin, go and does say, go, don't go and sin anymore, yeah? The woman at the well, was it the fifth husband she had, may have had a problem in the area of sexuality, yeah? These different people, yeah? The woman that was a prostitute. Interesting. What does Jesus say? Go away, I don't want to talk about this topic. I'm a Christian. Well, I guess would Jesus say he's a Christian? That's a theological thing I'll leave with you. Okay, so it's a challenge also for Christians, and even if we may not be affected ourselves, we are in contact with people that are involved in pornography, and if it's not pornography, maybe their thought life, which may not be so Christian, which sometimes we as Christians would not like to be our thought life portrayed by a beamer during a mass. You rather say, okay, I've got clean thoughts, but sometimes these thoughts come up, so we'll be addressing that topic. I talked a lot about studies and data last time when I came, so this time it's going to be more the personal side of things. I'll be sharing about my life, about our experience we have with people that we counsel, that we look after with that topic, and how you can also help people out of this area of addiction. So just a short introduction, it's true, I have 3 children and only 1 wife. But that was not always the case, because in my time of watching pornography, of course, there were many women I had a relationship with, virtually, not in reality, but in the virtual world, you know. I was glad that my fiancée, at that time she was my fiancée, was not happy with that and said, this does not work in our relationship, I want you to come out. And that's where I came out. But I'll share a bit more about that. I know I was very unfair a few weeks ago when I came, I said, I presented you all this data, and then I started talking about my own story and just stopped in the middle. Some of you are smiling. I stopped in the middle, say, you know, come again. So here today is to hear part 2, what happened then. So bear with me. So this is my 3 children. So this is Lucas. He's now 14. That's an old picture. This is my daughter, 16. Lisa. That's Dominic. He's now 6 years old. This is my wife, Karina. I cannot tell you her age because I would like to sleep at home today. I have problems. So yeah, and myself, I'm Phil. I'm 47 years old. In June 1969, I was born. So, a challenge for you. Calculate. When did I appear? I mean, I know in June, but calculate back. What comes to your mind? June 1969. I was born. I know it's tough in the evening to calculate going back. It's 9.5 months, roughly, maybe 10. So we're talking about September 68. Anybody know? It's the time of the sexual revolution. Actually, it was Woodstock and things like that. You may have heard 1968, actually. It was in August. And I'm very thankful for my parents that it was September I was created, and not in August. Yeah. But there were a lot of babies born in 1969. People call it the baby boomer generation, by the way. If you hear the word baby boomer, that's because it's to do with the Woodstock event, the sexual revolution, which I don't believe was a revolution, but it was a revolution to the negative side of things, yeah. But that's just for an introduction. So I think I shared that last time. We talked about the beauty of sexuality, that God made sexuality something very beautiful. And it's something to do with life, you know. In the area of pornography, the virtual, unreal world, there's no life. In the world of sexuality, there is life. And according to my kids, because we had a talk once at home, my two older kids said, "Mom and Dad, you know, we don't want to talk about this topic here. We came from the stork. You know, we know where we came from. We came from the stork." Very convincing, but we didn't believe them. So we have two children from a stork. In some of your cultures, do you have the story with the stork, Dumbo, you know, dropping off the kids, yeah? And we've got one real kid, so sexuality. So I work in this organization as a chairman. It's called Safer Surfing, Protecting Children and Youth and Adults. Adults need help often in that area when they're addicted. When the addiction has gone on and they're not able to control what they're doing. Protecting children and youth is our topic, addictive content, especially pornography. And we help people, we support people out of pornography, people that are looking for help. We work, as it was mentioned, internationally. Here are just a few photos. We travel a lot around in schools, actually primary schools. So we're talking about the young 8 to 10-year-old kids, usually because they've consumed hardcore pornography in break, in school, 8, 9-year-old kids. That's a typical story. Also, schools around here in this area, 8, 9 kids watching, not pornography, watching hardcore pornography. So we're talking about violence. That is a normal story we hear. It starts off at the age of 3. We've had 2 cases in the last year of 3-year-old kids watching pornography. In one case, the parents actually wanted the kid to be quiet, just gave them an iPad watching pornography, you know, just to keep quiet, you know. One of the seminar visitors that came to a seminar was the sister, and she had visited that family and saw the kids, you know, the kid 3 years old watching pornography and the parents not reacting, you know, they knew. So it's stories like that we hear. The youngest sex addict, a 6-year-old, which was not able to come away from pornography. It needed professional help. Over weeks it was caught up, could not come out of pornography. So these are some of the extreme situations. The typical age, we'd say, is roughly about 10 or 11, where young people get in contact with pornography. So very early. We work, we do seminars, speak symposia, parent teaching, a lot in the TV. We have self-help groups. We've got about 23 self-help groups now, 20 for men and 3 self-help groups for spouses. No self-help groups for women yet, which we would love to start. We've had, as mentioned, more than 7.5 million visit page views, which is roughly 1.6 million visitors in the last 10 years. So there is a topic there, and most of the people coming from a Christian background, as we can see. We work in the area of Christians, of course. We've got a website you can visit. It's out in 12 languages, a lot of Eastern European languages. We've got one in British English. I'm sorry for the people from the US, no US English version. Please forgive me, you've got a brochure from me, but it is the British flag. My mom is from England, but I won't sing the anthem now. So. Just to be culturally sensitive, yeah. So, and we're working in the area of non-believers also, more and more in this area, actually. We're able to speak at Sigmund Freud University. There are 3 Christians actually working at Sigmund Freud University, undercover, but they're Christians and they're able to bring in good Christian values. The challenge we have is nowadays is, of course, the web 2.0, the interactive web. We're very involved in the internet. We can do everything we want. We can upload data. We can upload our whole life history, you know. We trust Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook founder, you know, I'm sure he's going to be looking after our data, our private data we share with him. So the challenge is when it comes to the area of pornography. It's not the olden days going to a shop and buying a video or a computer software somewhere. It's all in the area of internet where people are addicted. The internet is a challenge. I've got a nice story. It's actually in English. I'll just show you. It's a challenge also for families, and I know the situation in our family. And I'll just show you a short video on that. Actually, I forgot to put the loudspeaker on, but I hope it's loud enough. But I think it's self-explanatory. Let's have a look. This is the part where the video would start, but as well. Okay. Just bear with me a second, sorry about that. I don't have one of them with me, and they don't exist in reality. But I know that many mums would like to have these, of course. And if I show that in school, when I go out to schools, you can imagine the shock of the young people. You hope you're not going to sell this to my parents or so. So the challenge is, especially in the area of pornography, is the whole world of the internet. And here, in the area of addiction, we talk about three A's. The access to this stuff is very easy. It's anonymous. At least you have the feeling you're anonymous when you're in the internet. When in actual fact, okay, what happened here? That's interesting. Okay, never had that. When in actual fact, you're not anonymous because you have an IP address actually in the background, which is nearly like your street name, you know. So people think they're anonymous. I counsel people in the Christian world also. Let's say upper class priests and bishops, people struggling themselves with pornography, and they think they're anonymous in the internet. And you're not anonymous, yeah? And I say, well, would you like to be in the newspaper in the next few days? No, rather not. Well, then be careful where you're actually surfing the internet. So you've got the feeling that you're anonymous, so that, you know, it helps when you're in the area of addiction, you know? It makes it easier. It's available. You've got the internet available everywhere nowadays. It's hard for parents to protect their kids because you have access everywhere with the internet nowadays. Even in the ITI, I don't know if the big walls protect the internet coming out, but affordable. It's affordable. It doesn't cost anything. In my time when I used to watch pornography, I had to pay money. You know, at weekends the shops were closed, so it wasn't easy to get to that stuff. So this actually helps in the area of addiction. And I think the challenge is often that we, also as Christians, often choose the unreal thing in our lives. You know, we're not choosing the reality, the beauty of sexuality, the God-given sexuality. But often choose to go into this world of a virtual world. It could be pornography, it could be anything, it could be chatting, whatever, just fleeing into this world. And that's the core of addiction as well. We flee from a situation which is either physical or it's emotional or whatever, pain, trying to flee in a world where we think we're going to be happy, fleeing from that difficult situation, only with the result in this world we're going to be disappointed. And that's what we see with people also ending up in pornography, Christian or not. All along, the addiction, they're not happy. They cannot be happy. Why? Because there is nobody on the other side giving you, responding to you. It's lonesome sexuality. And as we know, God created sexuality as something very beautiful between man and wife, you know. So people choose often this virtual world. I always take these examples when I go into schools of this beautiful, fruit basket. Yeah? So I'd like to invite you all to come and take from the fruit. It's beautiful. You're kind of, this is good stuff, seriously. No blemish, it's all beautiful. Okay, so that's interesting, okay. Okay, maybe plastic, you're right. Maybe plastic, not good for digestion. So, but we do choose these things. We think they nourish us. We think that pornography nourishes us. Perhaps in the first moment, yes, we feel like, yeah, it's fun, whatever, you know. But actually, this is the real stuff. This is fruit. This is good stuff. If I'm in schools, actually, when I see this projection, some of the kids say, no, this is not real as well. This is only a Beamer projection, yeah? And I usually have one that's very wise, you know. Yeah. So often we choose this virtual thing instead of choosing what God gave us. Yeah? The beautifulness of sexuality. It's nothing to do with pornography, even though sexuality lives a life in the shadow of the world of pornography, yeah? That's clear. It's so dominant. It has an effect. But actually, these are two worlds. I'll give you another example of virtual world, reality. This guy here, don't know if you know him, he's from Trumau, he's an actor. I think he studied at IT, I'm not quite sure. But this is the reality, this guy actually does have problems in his face. Grey hair, he's old and he's going to die one day, maybe. But you can photoshopping and make him unreal. This is more beautiful. See, just photoshopping people, why not? No grey hair. Yeah? This is what you can make out of people. You know, we like to live with the virtual stuff, thinking it's going to make us more happy. I've done the same example with myself, so this is me without a beard still. So that's the original. And this is me photoshopped. Well, I'm a Christian, so I have to be honest. So it's not me. And then some of the men are going like, never seen this guy. Just to give you a help, this guy. For the men. For the women, Lord of the Rings is a film out. Blonde, long hair. I thought this guy had blonde, long hair. And I saw this picture and said, no, this is not the guy. That can't be. This is him. Orlando Bloom. Also a Trumau. So some of we like to live with this world, with the virtual stuff, with the unreal world. We dream dreams, you know. It may not be pornography, maybe our thought life is not so Christian, you know. The storyboards we write. I was mentioning also last time when I came, pornography, yes, it starts off roughly 10 years old. That's in the US, data is present. We don't have much data in Europe. Our feeling is it's a bit higher than the US, but it's roughly about 11, where young people get contact with pornography. Girls and boys, same age. We've done surveys as well. We've not seen a difference. Both same age. And usually they got into pornography through friends, they say, through classmates, through siblings, especially girls. I got into pornography or into this pornography world of thinking through my older brothers. Originally, I hated what I saw. It was ugly, but there's something that kind of fascinated me. We hear that story a lot amongst Christians. And the primary source of contact with pornography is smartphones. It's not the films, the television, but it's smartphones. Last time I mentioned also when I came, I'm repeating a bit from last time, so it helps those that weren't here last time. I said God created beautiful sexuality like water. God created these waterfalls, wild water, beautiful water. There's nothing wrong about sexuality. It's beautiful, no matter what our experience is. It's beautiful. And it says, if you look in your Bible, every version. And God saw what he had made and see it was good. This is the part in IT I used to say that's wrong. Very good. Very good. There's nothing wrong what God did. Like this water, it's very good. There's nothing wrong, no matter what your experience experiences, what you've experienced in your own life as well. What is good? All this beautiful water, God, what God created, everything. Yes, and sexuality? Yes. I wrote yes, exactly. Also sexuality. No matter what your experiences is, no matter what things you've heard in the past, no matter what people said about you, about the way you look, who you are, in the way you look or as a sexual being. As I mentioned last time also, God created borders. Yes, very creative borders, very creative, but clear and absolute borders. They are absolute with God. There is no there and back, you know, but they are creative and they are meant to protect those borders, like water has borders. And as you know, what happens when water goes over the borders, it destroys. There's death. You know, we've had the Danube, for those that have been in Vienna, seen the Danube. I've seen the Danube at Schwedenplatz. I know if some of you were there. It's very low, the water. And I've seen the water actually nearly above street level. I've never seen anything like that. This could have killed a lot of people. Water has an amazing power for the good and for the area that's not so good. Water is something that nourishes us, that makes us, when we're thirsty, it's something beautiful, like sexuality. It's something beautiful. So if you're thirsty or so, usually really thirsty, it's very hot. You know, in the ITI, it's about 40 Celsius degrees, 50, 120 Fahrenheit, whatever, you know. Oh, you get like, and you drink this water. It's mean, right? Am I able to get you over? Bring you over the idea? Nice and cool as well, fresh. I just put it here. Yes, God has made sexuality beautiful. There's nothing wrong, there's no blemish in what He made. And however, we have things we've experienced in our lives. Hurtful things, perhaps, things that were said. What is pornography? There's no common definition. The one I like is from Wikipedia. I know it's not the sole repository, the two-in-one repository, but I like what it says. It talks about pornography as being the direct display of human sexuality, writing pictures or sound recording with the intention of sexually arousing the viewer. So that means pornography starts off very early already. That's in our view. Sadly, Wikipedia added a few things I don't like in that area, kind of taking away the power of that sentence. But yeah. What is sexuality? I think I said it last time as well. For those that were there, you know the story that's going to come now. I just say like steak, a good steak. You know, sexuality is something like beautiful, like the mignon of a steak. That's the best part of the steak for those that are experts. Some of them smiling because you know what's going to come now. Those that were here last time, sexuality could be comparable, could be like a tofu. I want to be, for those very sensitive, culturally sensitive, like a tofu. Good tofu, that's what sexuality is. This is the only gender politically correct thing I'm going to bring today. Pornography, however, is like a hamburger. It's something for mass consumption. And believe me, there's no love in making hamburgers. It's for money, for the mass consumption. Like pornography, it's not made with love. It's not meant to feed you. You know this feeling. You go away and you feel empty after eating one or two hamburgers, just half an hour later. Yes, because it's not nourishment for you. I know that there's not love in one of these hamburgers because I've worked at one of these companies. Yeah, and believe me, there was no love in the hamburgers. Seriously. I can't tell you the name, but I'll just give you a hint. It started with M. I'll give you the last part, and it ends with McDonald's. So, pornography is a big, big industry. It's made more than $20 million in the US. It made more money a few years ago than Microsoft, eBay, Yahoo, Amazon, Google together. So it's a huge industry. Can you imagine that? It's the largest industry in the world. I don't know if you've heard Microsoft. They make little like computer things. eBay, that you sell things. Amazon is like a shop. Trumo, Amazon, and Google is a place you search for. So you know, guys, they make a lot of money, and at the expense of those that are actually suffering. The porn scene, I'm a lot around with people that former porn actresses that become Christians, former porn producers, and they say it's an abominable world. It's a terrible world out there. How people are treated in the porn set. People hate doing what they do. Most of them are under drugs or alcohol to survive what they're actually doing, because it's nothing they would like to do, and it's all about money. As mentioned, an issue also for Christians. Amongst the Christians, you can say 90-95% of the Christian men have consumed pornography once in their life. 50% in the last year. Amongst women, 20% to 30% are different data. We see it more around 20% in the German-speaking world. Here, by the way, the other 5% supposedly have a problem with honesty. We hear about men. I don't believe that, because we have actually men that have never, they have seen porn, but not on purpose, but have not had a problem with pornography. What are causes? It could be the sexuality that was welcomed too early. I was 8 years old, other people are younger, far too early that sexuality is awoken. It could be sexual abuse or not. Some have experienced it, some not, yeah? Very much an effect is also that children just don't know anything about sexuality. And parents leave it up to the porn industry, where they don't really intentionally do that, but the porn industry ends up being the sex educator. If we as families don't talk with kids, and this institute here is about family here, so, well, I heard you hear about family. This is our responsibility as parents, and when you have kids then in the future, it's don't leave it up to schools. They make a terrible job. I think that we all agree the porn industry does a worse job, yeah? But it's parents, like Gudrun, you know Gudrun Kugler? She mentors our organization, and she says, it's parent responsibility, sex education. It's not, don't leave it up to schools, don't leave it up to the world, to the porn industry. The dysfunctional parent-child relationships, we've seen with people struggling with pornography, often a similar picture, often very dominant mothers, interesting enough, and weak fathers. Fathers that are not present through physically or emotionally. They may be physically available, but not emotionally. We've seen that. There's a pattern that actually repeats itself again and again with people. Not all people, but a lot of people who work through. Difficult, especially with this father relationships. Also girls with their father. The search for a good father relationship. We've seen that. What are breeding grounds? They're typical for other addictions. Alcohol, whatever, smoking. It's very similar to pornography. Breeding grounds could be a lack of loving relationships. That's a big, big one, I think. I think because in our world, we're struggling more and more to love. Remember, if we think about God, what was number one always? What does it say? Was it the Bible? It was love. God. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor like yourself, yeah? I think we only talk about we love ourselves nowadays, you know? Egoism. And in this world, pornography thrives, you know? Because people are looking for intimacy and end up in pornography. We've seen that and seen again and again. Men and women aren't necessarily, it's not only about nakedness as well, but not only. It's often the search for intimacy. And this intimacy will never be received. There will not be a response from those. Because these are broken people in the porn industry. Even if it would be real, you're actually interacting with somebody. It's not going to be real because they have broken lives. We have broken lives and they meet. Lack of loving and real relationships we're seeing is a big struggle. Loneliness, tiredness, an issue. Definitely with me, when I was into porn, I was tired. Instead of going to sleep, I would stay up, starting to lie to myself. Oh, I'm going to go to bed, but actually I had a plan already in my mind. You know, we write scripts, you know, and we need to start becoming honest in our own life with ourselves, with our thought life, not lying to ourselves. The area of lying is a big topic in the area of pornography. People lying to themselves, you know. Oh, I'm not going to have an affair. This is only virtual. And all these stories that come up. Emotions that may have not been dealt with. And somebody finds an area of pornography and masturbation as the possibility to express my emotions and so, yeah. Perhaps stuff that has happened in the past in the family. Emotions that have not been worked through. And this is an area they find to present their emotions. Boredom or thirst for adventure. Midlife crisis. I'm 47. Supposedly I should have had it with something like 42, 43, 44. Somebody said Christians don't have it. I don't know. With 30 I had a kind of a crisis, but yeah. It could be stress. Stress that I see often. Stress. Oh, stress. You know how it is when you're stressed, you know, get a chocolate or whatever, you know, calm your pain, you know, your stress, you know. And it could be pornography, one of these areas. Discouragement, something that I see very often with men. Personal failure, failing also as a father, as a friend. This is some of the breeding grounds we've seen where pornography can then actually sit on and start growing. So we've got the background, we have experiences that may not be good in the area of sexuality. We have no sex education for parents. Then we have these sensitive times in life. I talk about sensitive times. where you're just sensitive, the situations that are difficult to cope with, and that's a perfect place, you know, perfect floor, we call it a floor, where bad fundament for stuff that can grow then. My story was, as mentioned, I was 8 or 9 years old, found a hardcore porn magazine, so a violent porn magazine, at a paper, an area where there was a paper container. And it shocked me what I saw. It shocked me. On the one side, on the other side, it was interesting because I thought, okay, what's this world? I've never heard of this world, you know? And with 12, I really got into pornography. This is 8 years old before porn. This is 12 after watching porn. Or perhaps I don't have a better picture, that's possible. It was youth, my youth age. But this was the time actually I really got into pornography. This is actually a picture from the cellar where the television was, where the computer was. I used to exchange software programs, not so Christian games with people. My parents had no idea. My parents were Christian. We were three boys at home. The only sex education we got from our parents was this, that if there was a film on the television where a woman would just do like this or whatever, my mum would jump in front of the television, protect us, not, don't look, three boys. It made it kind of forbidden, which makes it, you know, not more interesting. Actually, my mother did actually, there was a second sex education thing she once told me. I actually was once open with my mother and said, hey, I'm struggling with pornography and with masturbation. And she said, oh, yeah, the word is masturbation, by the way. I learned that at the girl guides, you know, like the scouts, the girl guides. And take a cold shower when you're tempted and the problems are away. So I don't know if that worked. I've never taken I do take a shower, but not cold. Don't get me wrong. So I'll keep my distance today. No, but I don't know. I don't believe that's going to be the solution. So I really got into pornography. Myself, I became a Christian with 14. I wasn't a Christian in any way. I was through a very dramatic situation in school. I got to know Christians after that situation, dramatic situation, where I was beaten up, put into the toilet, bound by hands and feet. That's so often when we're weak, there's a possibility that God can come into our life when we're weak. And I became a Christian with 14, getting to know Christian youth leaders and amazing leaders that were fascinating. They reflected Jesus in an amazing way for who they were, what they said, and their love for me. And that was fascinating for me. But still I was struggling with pornography, but at least I had some people I could talk with, and that helped, made things easier. The problem was that these people never again asked Phil, how are you doing with that problem, you know? And that would be so important, also in youth leadership, to ask, you know, you talk to me, how are you doing? But I only can say, I think they may have struggled themselves, which made it difficult to actually talk to me and say, hey Phil, how are you doing in this area? So I was, as was mentioned, 14 years involved in pornography, not as an actor, but as a consumer on the other side. And I was very unhappy, and I knew that it wasn't something that God was happy with. Nobody told me, not my parents, nobody told me. But I knew there's something that God given, which I think every person has, something's not, that's not, that shouldn't be, you know? It's not right. And I think God does give that to people, but we need to listen to that voice. So I never was happy after watching pornography. And I called out to God, help me. And I often experienced, I was really literally, like when you have a priest or a deacon, you know, when he becomes a priest, deacon, what do? They lie on the floor, you know, picture, flat out on their stomach. This is the position I took often after I sinned. And this is the best place where people can be that struggle with pornography or struggle with their thought life. Flat out in front of our God. Because where we are weak, He can become strong. Does it remind you of some Christian stories, Bible verses? Yeah? He can become strong. And during this time of struggling with pornography, I always repented and said, God, I have a problem. I'm sorry, Jesus, I'm sorry. I want to follow you. I'm excited about you. And in these times, I experienced Jesus in a very, very personal, deep way. He was there next to me. Very deep. Now, I don't encourage you, if you want to get to know God in a deeper way, to watch pornography. Get me right? Yeah? But it was very deep moments of meeting God on a very personal level. After repenting and seeing that His hand was stretched out. Sometimes even hearing a voice, come Phil, come up with me. I'll walk with you. And I'm excited even nowadays still about this God. He's a relational God with us. He's not a distant God. And he's interested in us. Also in the area of sin, we can talk to him about our sin directly, not only via a priest. You can talk directly to God as well. Wow. Yes, there is a direct approach possibility. I know so many people struggle to even mention certain words in front of God. God could be shocked. No, he is not shocked. He knows what's going on here. Talk, be in relationship. What did Jesus say? When Jesus came to the world, he said, I'm the physician, remember? I'm here for the healthy patients, for the perfect patients, for the Pharisees, for those that know a lot. Or wasn't it? Was the wording a bit different? I don't know what you study. I came for the sick. I came for those. And I think that gives so much hope. And I would have needed that. That people would have spoken to my life and said, Phil, you're not a hopeless case. There is help. There is this Jesus who understands you, who's met up with people like that in that area. And he'll pick you up and he'll get you out. I would have needed people encouraging me, yeah? So a lot was between God and me, I know this, which was a great time. I was struggling in the youth. At 18, I became a youth leader of a big youth group. And when it came to topics like sexuality, because these topics did come up, or struggling with pornography, you know, talking to individuals because they said, you know, Phil, I've got a problem. I thought, well, what should I say now? You know, I'm a leader. I'm struggling myself. So what I used to say is, yes, I know this problem. I used to have it as well. Used to meant a week ago, which was honest, but not so honest, yeah? So I was struggling myself still. It was so difficult to talk to other people when I was struggling. It's difficult for priests who often perhaps also struggle with that area. Different for people in leadership, different for family, often because we have stories and it makes it difficult to talk with a younger generation, with our own children, about this topic. So, yes, I was excited from God about Jesus, what Jesus did, and at the same time I was doing this garbage. And I felt like not schizophrenia, but like a bipolar disorder, you know, like one personality and another day, a different personality. And I thought, what's wrong here? You know, I'm doing this, but I don't want to do that. Like Paul says, you know, I'm not doing what I should be doing, but I'm not doing what I shouldn't be doing, but I'm doing what I don't want to do. Some of this feeling. And I think it's God's grace that God brought me out of pornography through three situations where I was caught, or nearly caught, watching pornography. The one situation was through my mother, who came down. I was watching pornography on the television. She opened the door, and she did not know what's going on. She's one of these mothers, everything's fine at home, we're a Christian home. You know, there's a big, you know, glass, what do you say, a half, like glass, like a ball, a glass ball over my kids. They don't do, they're Christian. and she didn't notice what was going on. The second time was through my co-youth leader and his wife. They nearly caught me when I was buying pornography in a shop. They did not see me. I only found out like 2-3 years ago. I asked them, did you see me many years ago? He said, no. But I thought they had caught me. That was embarrassing because suddenly light was coming to my life. Where light comes, it's very uncomfortable for you to feel very uncomfortable. I don't see people going out on the bus or in the cars or in the U-Bahn in Vienna going out, oh, I've got a porn problem. People do not talk about it. Why? Because they want, rather in the dark, not bringing light into your life. The third time was, and that's why I stopped last time for those that were here last time. The third time was that my fiancé, now wife, did a surprise visit. And you can imagine, it was a surprise visit for her and for me, not in the positive sense. So I was watching pornography on the internet, and she surprised me. And suddenly the door opens, and she comes through the door. And I thought, oh God. Well, I didn't think, oh God, because I wasn't very Christian at that moment. Turn the computer off. At least I managed to quickly turn the computer off. And as fast as I could, I ran away from the computer and hid in the cupboard. There were reasons why. I didn't want my future fiancé to see me in that state. And we waited until marriage. That was for us very important. But in actual fact, I did not wait until marriage because I was watching pornography. But sexually, we were otherwise waiting. So I had to hide. I hid in the cupboard. And my wife came in. She's not here, sadly. But She came and she found me straight away. She knew there's something wrong here today. And we hear that again and again from women. They feel there's something wrong with my partner. They feel in the presence of men, they feel, I don't feel comfortable. We hear that so often. I think it's something that God has given women. There's a sense there, careful. And so she came straight away to the cupboard. She knew where I was. And she went in the knees and said, Phil, I think we need to talk, right? And I was down my knees. Yes, I think we need to talk. And I don't know how long it lasted. I think it between 20 and 30 minutes we talked through the cupboard. I had to wait, of course. And we had a good talk. My wife knew about my problem, but not in detail. I've actually brought my wife with me, but only virtually. And she speaks in German, so I'll translate it. I can't lip sync, but I try as good as possible.
Yeah, also ich komme in diesen Raum hinein.
So I came into this room, and I was surprised nobody's welcoming me. And I felt in the atmosphere, I noticed there was something wrong. Phil and me, we talked, I knew he had a problem with pornography, but not the big picture, only a bit. And I went to this room, I saw the computer, and I went straight to the cupboard. And I saw Phil there like a little heap of unhappiness, like a little child waiting to be scolded by the parents. It was a very weird situation. Phil told me what had happened. And I said, I think we need to talk about this more detail. That this is the time we need to clean up things in life, to speak out what's really happened, to get help. I think it was important for Phil to hear how it hurt me, that what he was doing was hurting me. For me, we were engaged. For me, it was. I was really unhappy because I said, you know, do I want to really marry this husband, this guy? This guy struggling with pornography. My background is from a non-Christian background. My parents, it was normal that pornography was lying around in the house. But I thought, you know, when I became a Christian, I thought Christians don't do that, Christian men. And I never heard about Christian men struggling with pornography. And we were engaged. And I was shocked. This is the only Christian struggling with pornography. And I'm deciding to marry this guy now. And she knew this is about, Phil noticed this is about our relationship, about the future. He knew that I was serious about this. Of course, I was insecure. Will this be a good father? Will this be a good husband? All these doubts about my self-worth came up. But we found an old couple that accompanied us. A very mature man, an older man, a mature woman, they helped us out. He used to phone Phil when he traveled on business trips, ask him, how are you doing? Are you struggling with pornography? They would invest their time. Phil had enough from pornography. He actually went on his knees and said to me, Karina, I haven't had enough. I want to end pornography. And this was the day where he ended with pornography. However, his thought life still continued, wasn't so clean, but that took a while still. It was a process of coming out of pornography. But actually, looking at pornography was ended there. But I saw that he was taking steps. I saw he meant it seriously, was serious about things, and he took steps. Sorry about the translation, it's a bit difficult using Michelle in German, but. So this was serious because I knew I was about to lose my future wife, and I knew this is the wife I want to have. And she said, I do not accept what you're doing. And she was the person getting initiative to get help from outside, and it was so good to get help from people, to talk about the problem, to bring light into the darkness. If you look in the New Testament, again and again, this concept comes up. Light came into the world. The word came. Where light is, darkness goes. It's an amazing concept that God has. Light comes, darkness goes, and that's something that's so important and amazing. So yes, it was a struggle for ourselves because my wife didn't know who is she going to marry, yeah? And yes, it took a while to come out of pornography, not so much to watch pornography. For me, that day ended. I've not ever seen pornography since. But thought life, that took quite a while still to become clean. And I noticed that God once spoke to me and said, Phil, up here, that's not okay. We need to clean up. And I know that God has healed my thought life as well, that except a few pictures, I cannot remember what I saw in the past. But it's been a longer time. We have people contacting us thinking, oh, I have a problem. They contact us and say, well, I've got a problem. I want to come out of it. How long is it going to take? A few weeks? I said, well, how long have you been involved? Oh, 20, 30, 40 years in pornography. The expectancy, oh, I want to have it like this, you know. God and me, we're going to do it like this, yeah. And we see most cases it's been a process to come out of pornography. It takes time. What can partners do if somebody's affected? What can partners do? I think they need to understand you're not the problem. If your spouse is struggling with pornography, your boyfriend is struggling with pornography, he has a problem. He has a problem. It doesn't matter how beautiful you look, he's still going to have the problem. He can't have the porn actress in his bed, and he's still going to have the problem. It's not the sexuality. It's not you. It's not the way you look. And that's a message we have to again and again bring out when we work with families in the context of marriage, counsel people in marriage context, because their self-worth is broken. Why is he looking at other women? He's a Christian and he's doing that. We're partly Christians that become violent as well. They live so much in the pornography, they become violent as well. Studies have also shown that some people potentially can start becoming more and more violent, open towards violent behavior. Just last week, a woman that approached me after seminar said, my Christian husband, he's struggling with pornography, and he's become violent towards me, and he does not see his problem, and I've had to leave the family now. They're not divorced, but from protection, she just had to leave the situation, not to be hurt, physically hurt. And he's still living in this world. He does not understand it. He was a Christian watching pedophile pornography, kids. More and more, we're seeing through the years, we've existed for 10 years, more and more, especially in the last few years, we've seen people more and more watching kids' pornography. The stuff people are watching is more, it's younger stuff, it's more violent than ever before. And that shocks me. We need to confront. If you, your partner or your future partner struggles in this area, you need to confront and not accept what he's doing. Pornography is not part of marriage. It's nothing you're going to take into bed with you. You do not need a manual for sexuality. Believe me, those manuals are bad manuals. Yeah? Don't take a third person to bed in any way. Now you may say, hey, we're Christian, we don't do that. But this is very common amongst non-Christians. And more also Christians we talk to, we're surprised. You don't need that stuff. This is between you and your partner. We say somebody watching pornography and being caught, or so it's like a car accident. He may be the one driving the car, sinning, you know, having an accident. He sins, yes. But the problem is your spouse is in the car as well. You know how dangerous a seat, the partner seat can be? Often it hits people out of the car, even worse accident than the driver as such, yeah? And both need a hospital, perhaps different hospitals. But what happens in the marriage context is they try to help each other. She's hurt. He's hurt, of course, also, yeah? Struggling. And they're trying to help each other. But they need help from outside. And as Christians, we're called to get help from outside as well. And often it may just be a Christian friends we've got on our side. It may not mean the psychiatrist, the psychologist, or whoever, yeah? Sometimes it's just practical friends we need that are on our side that will help us as a married couple. Like a car accident, she needs help, he needs help. Perhaps you've got kids in the back. They also are in the accident. We have so many kids that have caught their father watching pornography, usually at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the night. Funny, these stories resemble again and again. 1 or 2 in the night, I've caught my father watching pornography. Or I've caught my spouse. For children, a world's broken when they see their father in front of the porn laptop watching pornography. Again and again we've heard stories. We've got a young woman that wants to start up a group for young children that have caught their parents, you know, caught the father watching pornography, a self-help group. We've got a forum, Love is More than You, or DE, where you can see a lot of women that are fighting with the issue, not themselves, but their partner, and they help each other also. Good books, but however, they're only in German, are available. It's something called Ilana Jacobs. I Was One of Many. And Mike Janung, there's a book out in English, it's called Road to Grace. So if you're very interested to read good literature on that topic, I've read a lot of Christian literature, which I say is not helpful either. It's very legalistic. Do A, B, C, and your problem is gone. And control your eyes. Don't look, then your problem is away. Things like that, you know, don't look to temptation. Run away. I've not seen that help anybody, you know. Then there are other books that are very, yes, they're Christian, but they kind of give you more and more ideas what you could do. You know, they say, by the way, I did this and this and this, and this is where I was. Makes it even more interesting. You get more silly ideas. Yeah. So, the good, best book I've found for those affected and partners struggling with pornography is the book Mike Janung. It's called Road to Grace. Excellent book from a US guy. So how is it? I'm talking about the people that are themselves struggling with pornography, men or women who are away from partners. It's often like a castle of shame. Actually, in professional terms, people, when they talk about pornography as an addiction, they talk about the shame illness. It's very interesting, yeah? I'm not talking about Christians. Shame illness. Shame is a big topic there. And we call it the castle of shame, or often wrong shame. And this is the Christian version here now. Often when we struggle with pornography, or just our thought life, you know? Not that anybody here in ITI would do that, of course. Now we have to talk about the problems of other people that have friends whose daughter has a friend whose neighbor may struggle. So this is all hypothetical, yeah. But imagine, try to think into these people, yeah. So they're struggling in that area. It's like a castle. You hide, you know. You know it's wrong. Also in front of God, it's not what God wants. Your thought life, watching pornography, whatever. And with this, you build up a castle around your heart, around your thought life. And these different lies come in into your life. God has no access here anymore. Or, I have to deal with this on my own. Or, God and me, we'll do it. You know, we don't need help from outside. Or, no one can ever know about this. Imagine anybody knows about my problem. Big one for people in leadership. This is destroying my marriage if my partner, my spouse, finds out I'm struggling with pornography. Do you know what I say? Your marriage is broken, if she knows it or not. And it's high time to talk with your partner after you get help from other people. So don't be on your own just with the situation, but get help from another couple perhaps, and then confront your partner. But if just because she doesn't know that you're struggling with pornography doesn't mean everything's okay in your marriage and your sexuality. We hear again and again women that say when they find out, or he finally comes to the point to be open and talk about the problem, we hear that she says, I'm actually glad that I know what it is now. I've always felt all those years of a marriage, there's something wrong. Again, we're back with this sense that women have, there's something wrong. And I couldn't name it. I didn't know what it was. And still they're hurt when they find out what happens, but at least they know what's wrong, going wrong. I am worthless. Nobody will like me anymore if they find out I'm struggling with pornography. That problem I don't have. I mean, my story's in the internet, and I found out that some people do still like me. My partner does, my wife, my kids, even though I struggled. Also the church, people that know. I have no sympathy in the church. My sin is the worst sin. That's interesting. That comes again and again. No one feels like I do. Jesus died on the cross for every sin, but that's perhaps not in this area. But if others knew about this, and I think the dark clouds then, darkness, of course, and this shame, you know, this calf of shame, this is not a good place to be in. We need, again, light to come into our life, the sun to come into our life. And of course, in the Christian terms here, I can talk in Christian terms. Sigmund Freud University, I can't talk about that. It needs light to come again into our heart, into our mind, into our soul, to get this darkness away. It needs truth to be spoken out by friends, by God to you. Hey, you are not a hopeless case. There is a way out. Be courageous. Get help from somebody. Talk with somebody. Don't be on your own. And bit by bit, these lies are going to crumble. If you let God in and you let other people speak into your life and you're accountable, my partner will not tolerate this. These lies will break down bit by bit if you start talking about it. It's not the worst sin in the world. Let God come into your life, into your thoughts. Let Him do the work in your life. At the end of the day, I know this is a bit, stylistic women, men, but God got better. For the men to be, yes, to be powerful, dependable, to overcome obstacles, like this car. You know this car? Cheap car? Anybody know it? Girls win. Usually the women are faster with this. Yeah, it's a Hummer. Not a hammer, a Hummer. It's you heavier. But it's got, it's been written there. H-U-M-M-E-R. It's way easier for the rest. Hey, I think it's good as Christians. We should become full of power, strength, but in the good areas in our life as Christians, and not in the world being heroes of getting people undressed as men. I'm talking to men now, getting women undressed in the porn world. That's not power. We need to come in the real world and be heroes. We need to make ourselves dirty. It's absolutely okay to make ourselves dirty, but not in our soul, not in our mind, but outwardly. I think Jesus traveled on this world, and He made Himself really dirty, if you think of what He's done, not in His heart, not in His mind, but He was in contact with people where other people would never be in contact with. And this love that Jesus has for people, the outcasts, is the same love He has for people struggling in the area of pornography. So I think that's a message of hope. If your thought life, not your thought life, sorry, the thought life of friends or friends, you're struggling, there is hope because there is a physician there that came for you. You are not a hopeless case. For the women amongst us, God wants to bring in again this tenderness, this beauty, this radiance. My former colleague, she struggled with pornography, with sex hotlines, a lot of stuff. Beautiful, gorgeous looking girl. Nobody, everybody would say, no, not you, struggling. Oh yes, she was struggling. And she said she couldn't accept comments, positive comments, encouragement from people. People saying, you look gorgeous. She said, no, you do have no idea, she felt. But coming out of pornography, it's helped her to get this beauty again back. I think, yes, I am beautiful, I am special. Ending and breaking with lies. For those that struggle with pornography, says something, a great story in the Bible. For though the righteous fall 7 times, they rise again. It is so important if people struggle in that area. They fall, yes, they sin, get up, turn around, confess. I forgot to mention. And go a new way. This is great. God's got new open doors for you. If you're struggling for years and years, there's a door and you need to just get out. I mean, not really now. There's a door. There's a window.
Forget the window.
There's a door. And there's light coming out this door. There is a way you can go. There is something. He's got something far better. He's got the true stuff. He's got the water. He's got sexuality encounter. There's beautiful waters out there. I hope I'm getting the picture of it. It's not about being against pornography, fighting against it. It's for being for something, to go to the door, to find out what God has behind that door. And it's the beauty of sexuality. Something so sensitive, hurtful often, but beautiful in its original state. Like this picture of a white wall. It's beautiful. This is shining through this door. Turn, repent. Go to confession. Confess to each other as well, it says in the Bible. Confess to each other as well. I'm not only talking about the priest. Confess to each other as well. Find a friend with whom you can talk. Don't be on your own. Don't stay on your own, it says. It says in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 10. If either of them falls, one can help the other up. But pity the person that falls who has no one to help them up. Yes. Imagine this story. You're out. South Pole, you're trying to go to the South Pole. People do not travel on their own, it's dangerous. What happens if you're on the South Pole? You're right in the middle of a snowstorm, it's all snow everywhere. It is a South Pole, right? North Pole, South. Help me. It's fine, okay, great. Some kind of questioning. South Pole, yeah, okay. So we're out there, and you're on your own. Pity the person that has nobody to help you up. I came out of pornography. Many people, we've helped many, many thousands of people come out of pornography. We have thousands of stories we've seen, I'm exaggerating 1,000, but a lot of stories of people coming out. but it's been hardly any stories except one where they said it was me on my own. It's stories of people I got help from outside. I met with God on a very deep level. It wasn't only me. I had somebody help me. I've only got one story where somebody said I managed to come out on my own. Interesting enough. It's getting light in your life. Being accountable. Don't be this vacuum cleaner, yeah? Downloading all sorts of garbage, virtual noise, porn, thought life stuff that's not good. Stop consuming this stuff. I don't know. Do you want to be on the end of the hose? Imagine, I'm sure some of your duties are here also to clean up. Next time, go, do this. I know you can get a lot of stuff. You can download a lot. Yeah, fast. Upload is slow, but download is fast. But what about being something like this? One of these, you say, compressors, you know? Compressors, pressure washers, yeah? Give. Let your life be a blessing to other people. Let your marriage be a blessing for other people. Your relationship to God be a blessing for other people out there. Be this... What was it? Pressure washer. Be this pressure washer. I didn't know what this pressure washer is. I went to one of these petrol stations with my son, and I saw, yeah, you clean a car with it. I knew that. So I actually literally stood in front of the car, showed my son, this is how it works. Stood in front of the car about this far. And I did the wrong decision. Not sin. It was a mistake, okay? I pressed this button, and it hit me. I mean, like 3, 4, 5 meters back, I fell on the floor, and my son kind of watched. Okay. But this is a cool thing. I bought one of them then because I needed to train. So I got one of them. It's full of power. Your life should be a blessing to others. Porn is about my own life. Me, my, I, God. You know, God bless us three. You know, this kind of me, my, I, bless us three. God, please. Yeah. No, our life is meant to be a blessing for other people. If you or, you know, people that struggle with pornography, struggle a few practical helps, practical things in your life. Next to the deep relationship with God, it needs practical steps as well. Find out what are these feeding grounds in your life. I showed you some of these, you know, loneliness, remember, tiredness, hunger, friendships, disappointment, all these things in your life, stress. What is this feeding ground? But start believing truth. If you see things or thought life comes up, stories of the, speaking to the women here, stories of the beautiful prince that's going to come from the ITI heaven, come down, you're going to go, come jump on my horse. Oh. True well. It may start off as a nice story, but just be careful where your thoughts are going on. It can become pornographic as well, these stories. Just be truthful to yourself as well. Stop lying to yourself. Be honest to yourself. End those scripts you're writing. Even though you think they're not real anyway. Believe truth. For those struggling with pornography, believe that those people in the scene are unhappy people. They're not happy. These are daughters of fathers that never wanted their daughters to end up in the porn industry. If you have children married, imagine that, I'm speaking to the men here. If you have a daughter, do you want her to end up in the porn industry? Does she run up to you when she's 6, 7, 8 and come, Dad, when I'm a big girl, I want to be a porn star. I want to be sexually abused, because these people are abused. Everything is wound. Sorry to be so placid, and that's the direct, yeah? It's hurtful there, physically hurtful, the scene, what happens there with people. People are commodities, they're not people. They're used as something like material, yeah? Do you want that? I think daughters in the age of 6, 7, they don't say that. I think usually at least our daughter came up and said, I'm a princess, you know, with a pink costume. I'm a princess, Daddy. Am I beautiful? Yes, you're beautiful. I want to be a princess. Yeah. Learn to say, this is not mine. I have no right. I have no right on that daughter. These are daughters of fathers that didn't want that to happen. It does not belong to me. I've got a short video here. I hope it's not too direct. The sound is, but I think it should be okay. It's a film that kind of brings out, it's not mine. It does not belong to me out in a good way. It's not a pornographic film. It's from Nemo. Mine.
Oh,
Mine? So I get the picture. Next time you struggle with your thought life, not mine. These people do not belong to me. So I thought I'd give you something very practical. Somebody think of this, okay? Next time your thought life is going on, does not belong to me. You know, have no fear. I see that a lot of people struggle when they are tempted, but often when they're tempted, that fear is there very quickly, and this fear binds. It says in Peter, if you read Peter, it says in the letters, where that fear binds us. So when temptation comes, you have fear, oh, I'm going to fall again, oh no, it's coming again. Don't be frightened. I think Jesus said things like, I give you my peace, wasn't there something like that? I think it's a very important thing. When people struggle with their thought life, with pornography, when temptation comes, don't start fighting against it. It's like fighting against, or not thinking of the pink elephant in the room. Can you see this big pink elephant? You'll see it now. It's huge, this pink elephant. I need to move to the side. So we all need to move to the side. Huge pink elephant here. Okay, so don't think of the pink elephant. We're pulling on. The pink elephant is still here. It's not going to help you. Fighting against things, not thinking of pictures, yeah? I think what happens is full submission to God, giving up this fight against pornography, fight against this thought life. Giving up the fight. And having him fight for you. I've not seen people come out of pornography just fighting against it. But actually, I've seen those come out that have, as I mentioned, lie on the ground, giving up the fight, but also entering into this peace that God has for us through his Holy Spirit. Peace that is there, that will guard our minds, you know, is peace. Was it Selah, does it say? My English Bible says Selah. Again and again, if you read it, Selah, Psalms. Look at David's story. I think the Psalms are amazing, you know. A lot of stuff that also David wrote within the Psalms, you know. Wow. You know, his emotions are struggling, you know. But also peace, peace. You can fight with God. You can be emotional with God, yeah. But you can come to a real rest as well. And in this area, I think people that I've seen come out of pornography are those that are finding rest in their life. I'm coming slowly to the end now. Stay cool. If temptation comes, stay cool. That's the modern version. Have his peace in your life, in your mind. Stay cool, okay? It's okay. Yes, you're tempted. Okay. What I like to say again is when temptation comes, it's like, you know, we know where from. You know, say, okay, heard it already, seen it already, nothing new, thanks, don't need it. You know, old story, same game again. It's always the same game. I think the enemy is very primitive. We've got to do with a God that's far bigger. And it's not a tug of war between God here and Satan here, and there's a fight going on. Do you know what? God's power is far bigger. Even though you think this is so terrible, you know, the porn thing, oh! You know, God's power is so much bigger. If you see the clouds in front of you, you only see clouds, everything looks dark, the weather's terrible. In fact, the weather's beautiful. There are only clouds in between. Fly an aeroplane, you've got beautiful weather the whole time. That's interesting. But we're kind of fascinated through the enemy. Let the enemy be the enemy, okay? Calm down. You can be excited for what God for you. Grace, understand it's grace, we talked about that. But also understand it's not an ABC program of coming out of pornography, as some book suggests, do ABC. What helped me come out of pornography was learn to live with the vacuum, how to handle the situation with vacuum, to fill it with good stuff. That could be practical. I'm hungry, you know? Eat at regular times, things like that. Have a normal life, you know. Vacuum of friendship. I was looking for friendship. Porn is not going to fill that friendship. Come in relationship with people, you know. Have good friends there that are there for you. Fill this vacuum we have in our hearts. And I think a lot of the problems in the area of addiction is because we lack, especially in Western culture, we're lacking deep, good, solid relationships. Also amongst Christians, you know. Filling up this vacuum. that there is a need that wants to be comforted, the need for intimacy. I'm not talking about sexuality, intimacy. Also men with men, understand me right, yeah? Of good friendships. I don't know if you, in your cultures how it was, but in the past, like in Austria, just until 10 or 15 years ago, girls, women would go hand in hand through town. That was normal, it was friendship. Not men, but women, yeah? You don't see any women do that anymore. We're losing the distance to people more and more. In Europe, if you see, and also in Eastern Europe, the typical distance is about 80 centimeters, also in the US. Watch, if you go to somebody less than 80 centimeters, he'll back off, or she. It's a safety area we have. It's about 70 centimeters. You can practice in the next days, okay? Let me know. Culturally, you know, different cultures you come from, where, you know how near it is. If you go to Africa, I lived in Africa in the missions for a time being. It's this. And it was very uncomfortable. Go away. People warned us, if you go to mass, be careful, beware if you're in a mass. And you have an African right and left. Part of friendship is to touch perhaps your leg and play around with your trousers. And we all laughed at that mission school I was in. Yeah, haha. When we went to mass in Uganda. And I was sitting there and suddenly I felt a hand on my upper trousers, and he was playing around with my trousers, not sexually, just friendship. Do you know, it took 5 minutes, perhaps 10 minutes, but it was nice. That's so hard. I think you go away only with this. You have no idea what I spoke about. But I'm not going to Uganda to a mass. But seriously, after a while, I got used to it. I lived there for a longer time, so I had to get used to the culture. The distance of people being away 10 or 20 centimeters became very pleasant. You felt people, even though you didn't physically necessarily always felt, but you felt somebody is there. We've lost this stuff. We've lost intimacy. I'm not talking about sexuality. Intimacy, friendship, nearness. And again, why does God again and again, also in the Bible, wherever in history we've seen that, talk about love, loving Him, loving ourselves, loving neighbors as ourselves. It's again and again, it always comes back to that, about a deep relational relationship with God, a love relationship. What else can help being reconciled? I'll talk about that just as the final point. Protect your PC. Yes, there's software out there for smartphones, for laptops. You can look in the internet that will actually protect you from watching pornography. However, if you think that's the only solution, I hear it again and again, also people in leadership, oh, I'll just buy this, you know. This is not going to help you. It's a crutch. It will help you, but it's not the solution. If somebody just does that one thing and just does practical steps, it needs practical steps, and it needs a deep understanding of God and relational part, meeting God, and deep, deep personal need on an emotional level. Not only up there. I know we're an IT, we have a lot of theory, but it means also on a deep, on an emotional level, meeting up with God. And this combination can be very deep. Accountability, I talked about that. Finding people you can talk with, and only God does not count. It means finding people as well, like this, yeah. A practical course I have here is, if you're looking for help, for people that know people, loveismod.eu/course. We have an online course with 14 YouTube videos. They're all in English, 5 to 8 minutes long, short videos, so it's not dangerous, doesn't cost anything. So that's a good thing that here as well, it's free of charge. Welcome to visit. You'll get more ideas. I talk about my story. My wife talks about her struggle, how it was for her, with me struggling. It's a good stuff. I invite you really to pop by there, that website. The final thing I'd like to bring is one topic. It says here, being reconciled. What does that mean? Being at peace. I was talking about this peace. I think it's very important to be at peace with our own history. And I'm talking about our sexual history. In the last years, that's come up again and again, that topic, also I think from God directly, I've noticed He's put it strong in my heart, is that we've all got stories. We've all got stories, our past, okay? But part of this is also the area of sexuality, where we've had things happen in our life. Now, it may not be the huge sexual abuse experience. It may be little things that have happened. Words that have been spoken about, the way you look so fat, too small, too big, whatever. Things that were said in your life, comments that have been said about you. Somebody, when you drove the bus, somebody that kind of pressed himself towards you on purpose, Whatever experience you've experienced in your life, you know it yourself. And often we're not at peace because these things happened. We've not had people we've been able to talk about this thing. And these are areas that are wounds in our life. I used to run around, also last 9 years, talking about, I've never had sexual abuse. And God has bit by bit shown me, Phil, there have been things happening in your life. And I'll talk about two things. One was, that is really the end of the, then you can ask questions. I was 6 years old, or seven, and I went swimming with a family, with my best, one of my girlfriends. Oh, girlfriends, you know, boys at the age of six, seven, they don't have girlfriends. But it was a friend, let's say like that. And the family was very liberal, and to get ready to go swimming, they all undressed in front of me. And my best friend, a girl, gets undressed. It was terrible for me. I didn't want to see. In that age, anyway, you girls are kind of, yeah. Let alone see undressed. And then the expectancy, I have to get undressed. I need to put my bathing suit on. That was shocking. I know some of you think, oh, Austrians are so liberal. But I was brought into that situation, very uncomfortable. And that had to do, that was one of these building blocks in my life that had a negative impact on my sexual life. Of embarrassment, being shamed. Second situation that happened, that is where I was struggling with pornography. I was a young student at that time. And I went into a sauna. And it was a mixed sauna, as it is often not the case in Austria, looking for naked people. I mean, everybody must have known why I was there. But I was so lying to myself in my porn thoughts that I didn't notice. I was very young and people knew exactly why I was there. And I forgot to take a towel with me, because you sit on a towel within the sauna. So everybody knew why I was there. And suddenly the guy in charge of the sauna from this place came in. And I was right on the other end. And he said, young man, come out. And I had to go naked in front of everybody out, knowing that I was caught. Everybody knew why I was there. It was only because of the towel, yeah? But I didn't know that at that point. I was ashamed. I was put ashamed with him. I was shamed by him. He had the right, because he needed to get me out there. But I was shamed in who I am. And sexuality has a lot to do with my identity, with whom I am. With who I am. It goes really deep. And if somebody shames you, says something, it hurts. And that's what makes it so difficult also for us to talk to another generation. That's what makes it so difficult to talk to friends about the topic. Because we've got this big dark secret, or secrets, or things that have happened. These are building blocks that have done something with us. And I think that what God wants to do through His Holy Spirit is that we come at peace. You were singing, the Holy Spirit says here, remember? Come Holy Spirit. And I say this, come Holy Spirit. Bring us at peace in our mind, in our hearts. Bring us at peace with our things that have happened in our life. This is something I want to end with. I wish for every one of you, if you have experienced stuff, that you come at peace in His peace. Perhaps it was just things that people said about the way you look that had an effect on you. Perhaps you have struggled with your own self-worth. Look what I look like. To see how much at peace you are with your past, with whom you are as a sexual being, as a human being, look into a mirror, if you've got a mirror, look into a mirror. Can you look into this mirror and say, hallelujah, what a beautiful picture. Wow. Or what's going on in your life? If you look at yourself, can you look yourself into your eyes, in the mirror? Or do you think you're too fat, too thin, too big, too small? It's a Christian song, I won't sing it now, but in English it goes like, it goes in German, like, I will sing it. Bist du klein oder bist du groß oder mittendrin, Gott kennt dich. Are you, translating in English, are you small or are you tall or somewhere in between, God loves you. Are you fat, are you thin, or somewhere in between, God loves you. He loves you in the evening, He loves you in the morning, or anywhere between, you know, and it goes on, and so on. And in many churches, you sing these songs in Austria, these. But when you grow up, you cannot sing these songs anymore. They sound more like, are you thin or are you fat? or somewhere in between. You look ugly, God doesn't love you. Are you big, are you small? God can't love you, you look ugly. Where are these stories coming from? Where are these lies coming from? And not only, I'm talking to men, but also to women. I know how much women struggle in this area of their own beauty. I'm looking at you at the moment. Okay, this is a special area because it's ITI guys and girls. But I see beautiful women here. Gorgeous looking women here. I know some of you laugh, or some of you go, ah. But I'm your mirror now. I see gorgeous women here. And very, sorry, not beautiful, but handsome men. Okay, they're not beautiful, they're handsome. There's not one man that's not handsome here. And I'm not only talking about inwardly, I'm talking about outwardly. Everything else is a lie. We're talking about lies beforehand. I believe we're being lied to as Christians through media, through the stuff you're hearing. A lie to again and again. If you're not being lied to, I think you could go in the mirror and say, hallelujah in the morning. Wow, what a beauty. What a beauty. I think we're struggling with that. I'm doing fairly fine. I know that here I'm putting on weight more and more. Sometimes I struggle it some days, so I'll be honest with you, yeah. But I know deep in my heart, it's okay. I used to run many, many years around with a lie that my parents were paying friends that they would be friends with me because I didn't have many friends. I was married and I thought until being married, even a few years into marriage, that I was really ugly, very ugly. Long head, a lot of stuff wrong with me. Until one day, I mean, fairly early into marriage, my wife said, Phil, you look really handsome. Do you know that? I struggled with that. Whom are you listening to? Are you listening to the Good Shepherd and his voice? Are you walking in his peace? I'm a shepherd. I have 5 sheep. Actually, only 4. One is in the refrigerator now. Sorry to say that. It's honest, okay? The other 4 are alive and they're beautiful. But I am a shepherd. And I have sheep up there. It's the Eichkogel, not the Anhänger, Eichkogel. So if you go into Vienna, visiting, you see a little thing. They're up there. And I like these sheep. And I'm a good shepherd for my sheep. Except for the refrigerator one. But they hear my voice. Remember the stories in the Psalms? Through Psalms? They can hear my voice. When I come, I mean, I know it's about food. But when I come, I say, Lilo, Lilo. Wow, they're there. they know who the voice is. They know my voice. And they know those that try to rob them. They know the voice of my wife as well. But my voice is more important. Seriously, it's funny. They know, are you listening to his good voice? Do you have his peace? Are you listening to other voice? That's something I'll challenge you with. Take away as a homework. No test about that, but look into the mirror one day. Perhaps it doesn't have to be right here. Look in the mirror and see how you're doing, yeah? And come into this rest that God has for you. I'd like to, can I pray? Just perhaps, can we stand up for a short prayer? It's a free prayer. That's okay for you. God, Father, I thank you for this time this evening, Father. I know, Father, I'm touching on a very sensitive topic, something that can hurt as well. God, you know our stories. You know our stories in our life. You know things that have happened in our life, stories we've written or other people have written in our life, voices we've heard that were not your voice, but were lies. Father, I ask that you break with these lies in our life. That we know we are loved, Father. That we are beautiful. Yes, we struggle because we're still in this earth with sin. But there's forgiveness. And there's a door there, a beautiful door with light. Father, I want to ask you to heal things that have happened in our life. Where things have been hurtful in our life. Bring us into this peace, Holy Spirit. Come and work in our minds, work in our heart, in our spirit. That we can come to this rest. If there's temptation, if there's scripts written again, if there's lies coming, give us this deep, deep peace. and heal us where stuff has gone wrong. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.